This is Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
Welcome back to Theater Talk. The Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York is opening its 51st season with a beautiful production of Camelot, which runs through June 2nd.
It is a wonderful production, and we happened to be there on opening night and had a wonderful interview with the two leads, Gabe Ballou and Madison Stratton, and the director, and it was just wonderful. But something happened, and we lost the interview, but we've been talking about it and thinking about it, so we can tell you a couple of the highlights of the interview before we get into talking about the play itself, the production itself, which was really quite wonderful. And it's always very exciting that the actors are willing, just before they are going to be performing.
And after they've just done their first preview.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing, and they just are wonderful people. We've interviewed Gabe and Madison before, but it's always a pleasure to interview them.
A fascinating aspect of this was Gabe and Madison have both dealt with these roles sort of before, in that they were both in Spamalot, which familiarized them with the territory.
And we asked them, what kind of an impact did that have? And they said, well, he had to hold us back a bit because of the, you know, it's a comedy, Spamalot. And they treated the characters quite differently than Lerner and Lowe did.
Gabe, who's an actor we've admired tremendously over the years, has played loads of small parts, occasionally large parts. And he was just terrific in this. And he said, we asked him what the problem was. He said, what the challenge was. He said, the words. He'd never had so many words in a play. And he kept saying, it's more than a musical. It really is a play. And unlike many musicals, for both Madison as Guinevere and Gabe as Arthur, they have a whole arc, a whole evolution. They start as one kind of person, go through all these rather odd experiences, and end up different, wiser, sadder.
Well, one of the things that was very interesting was that what Gabe said, you know, this is a play which makes me think I want to do straight plays. He said, in theater, you get sort of, you do musicals or you do straight plays. And it's not often that they overlap. But since this part was originally written for Richard Burton, who's an actor and not a singer, although he did have songs,
the songs are not demanding.
Yeah, the great love song is sung by Lancelot. But it is a very, very interesting that this does have a different quality than the traditional music, and particularly in terms of what you were saying, because the characters evolve. And it was wonderful to see them do it. And, you know, we have always enjoyed, sometimes Gabe is the lead, sometimes he's in between, and sometimes they're smaller, but he's always wonderful, and he's always performing very
fun. And we commented on that, and they both said it was the artistic director of the company,
John Saunders,
who has this instinct and just will go with really trusting actors he likes and just giving them good parts. And it's interesting, Madison and Gabe have played together in four plays. They hadn't realized it until we pointed it out to them. And then Madison was saying, considering the short rehearsal period they have, it's so reassuring to have a partner on stage who you know and who you trust and whom you understand.
And it was interesting because Gabe has worked 10 years at Mack Hayden. And we said, well, how many roles have you had? He said, 46, because he does this whole range and he is so flexible. And it was also very interesting talking to the director, who was a wonderful hunchback in The Hunchback of Notre Dame and is going to be Curly in the upcoming production of Oklahoma.
But he made a distinction. He's from New Zealand. In New Zealand, which has a much smaller theater company, said that people don't specialize there. They do everything. And then Gabe was saying, here, you get tracked into being a musical person or a straight person. And he's just been inspired by working on this play to want to do straight plays and to do Shakespeare.
Yeah, it was kind of wonderful to hear that and to talk about the whole process. When you talk about John Saunders, one of the things that came up continually in the discussion was how much John Saunders does so much that's so good for Mack Hayden, makes so many good decisions.
And again, if you're not familiar with Mack Hayden, it's this tiny stage in the middle of a barn, an arena stage, which, and there's always this huge ensemble, which is one of the characteristics of the company and one of the wonderful things of the company. Show after show, you see about these 12 or 15 young people from various theater programs around the country who are all talented, who can all sing, who can all dance, who can all act. And they were saying it is so supportive to have that group behind them or well, with them.
And what is wonderful is as seeing this new ensemble for the first time, looking at them and as they're getting into their roles, and they sometimes have small parts, and it's kind of exciting because you're going to see them doing all different kinds of things and having all different kinds of parts.
And some of them graduate into larger parts. A couple of parts in this company were taken by former members of the ensemble.
The ensemble from other years, last years and before. But I think that it is very exciting to see this play. Now, this play is a very interesting one because it is based on a book called The Once and Future King. And it follows Lerner and Lowe's great success of My Fair Lady, and which was adapted from Shaw. And I think that they had a whole kind of way of approaching the musicals as a storytelling.
A couple of echoes of it are the fact, as Sally mentioned, that the lead musical part is written for a non-singer, and then the chorus has its ascot number in this.
Yes.
Where they're watching not a horse race, but a joust.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that when it first, they had a lot of problems on it because Lerner got sick and Moss Hart got sick, and so they had...
It was when it opened in Toronto, it was a four-hour show.
No, 4 hours and 45 minutes. So it was very, very long, and then they cut it down, and they kept cutting it down, and they cut out a lot of songs, but the songs that are in it are quite wonderful. But there are a lot of songs that go, I mean, the leading man songs are good. There are also a lot of songs that, for example, Mordred sings, and it takes place over a very long period of time, we see Arthur, and Gabe does this beautifully, we see Arthur develop sort of from a young man who Merlin says, you've got to learn how to think, Arthur. And when he first meets Guinevere, he introduces himself as Wart. And she doesn't want to get married. And he, you know, it's all kinds of wonderful things. And there's a wonderful song she sings about that.
As we were sitting there, Sally said, This is a show for Julie Andrews. I mean, the central part really is Guinevere. She has the most and the best songs. And it's interesting. Peter Bergman, a wonderful area critic on Berkshire Bright Focus on the web, who knew Julie Andrews, said that Madison brought to it nuances that Julie never did.
Yeah. Well, Madison, he describes her as being beautiful and talented, and both as a singer, but also as an actress. And that was one of the things that really stood out in terms of how much this called upon these performers to be actors as well as musical performers, and how well and wonderfully they did. And it's the other thing about the Mack Hayden that is so much fun is that when you go into the theater, you know, it always has its own scenery. Now, how does an arena stage have scenery? The walls, in this case.
The walls behind where you're sitting are all part of the scenery.
And the aisles are part of the
In that entrance we come in always has a little balcony above it that's used in the shows.
Yeah. But the point is, with this, there were lots of trees and branches. And
it made it very mythic and medieval and fairy tale-ish.
Yeah, but when you go when you will go to another show, it will be completely different. The walls will be. I don't know how they do in just 10 days, 2 weeks. How they not only transform the ensemble and the actors into different people, but they transform the theater into a different space and different costumes. I mean, it's...
The costuming there is their original costumes, and they're beautiful, show after show.
But the inventiveness of the way in which they used the stage and the way in which they used the aisles, actions going on all over the theater, and you feel so much a part of it.
Later in the season, when they do Ragtime, they're going to have a cast of, what, 34?
32, something like that.
On the tiny stage.
But the point is, in an arena stage, you always feel much closer and much more a part of the action. In any arena stage, but in an arena stage where they're using the aisles, you really are in the play yourself.
And there's a dynamic in the acting because the actors are always having to play in the round, which means they're constantly moving, which there's nothing static. It's all very exciting.
It's a very exciting production, and I think we ought to mention some of the actors. Dakota Dutcher, who plays Merlin and Pellinore.
Yes, who is a former member of the ensemble.
And who last year was...
Was the boy in Cabaret.
Was the boy in Cabaret. And he was outstanding. And so was Modred, who was also in the ensemble. And that was Gino Cardoni. And so it's really kind of exciting. And Nick Miller, who played Lancelot, just sang that... If ever I should leave you, so beautifully.
Yes.
He really had a lovely voice. And it's a marvelous production.
I think we should mention the director, James Rogers, has spent most of his career as an actor and as a singer doing a lot of opera. And I think, as he said, this is the largest production he ever directed. And he handled it with such skill. You were really in this magical medieval world throughout. And it was very engaging. And as Sally always says, if all the performances are good, blame the director.
Well, I don't say blame. I say credit. I say credit the director.
No, but it's a very solid production.
Yes, it is. And I think that one of the things about this year's season is quite fascinating. The range of, well, that's always true about Mack Hayden, the range of the plays that they are doing, including Ragtime, Oklahoma, Curtains, Sunset Boulevard. I mean, it's just all of the variety of the different musicals is so wonderful. He really did a wonderful job. And again, the fact that we have seen him as a wonderful singer and actor, we'll also be seeing him as Curly in Oklahoma, which is quite wonderful. So there are just many, many reasons to go and see Camelot.
It's just, it ends through June 2nd.
It runs through June 2nd.
So it's a very short time to get to see it.
Yeah.
Just this week.
And in fact, they were saying, when we finished up the interview, they said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to be starting the rehearsals for Curtains tomorrow.
The next day. Oh, yeah, the day after they opened.
Yeah.
And one of the things about Mack Hayden, the rehearsal period is, what, 8 days?
10 days.
Then. 10 days. And we asked the actors what that meant, and that meant that they had to be very solid before they got to rehearsal. They pretty much had to know all their lines. Gabe certainly felt that. And be on top of the music before they got here.
Well, and you have to understand that when they are rehearsing a new play in the evening, they're performing
for the ensemble.
The ensemble
will be in both plays.
The ensemble that I was talking about, the ensemble doing that, they would be in both plays, rehearsing one play and performing that evening at another play.
Fortunately, they're young and healthy and strong.
And very athletic. Yes, they are. I think that they are quite remarkable. And as I say, it's so much fun watching them over the course of a season in all the different roles.
At one point, we asked the actors what have been their greatest satisfactions in their career, the most satisfying experiences. And Gabe talked about doing Le Cage aux Folles, which he absolutely adored doing. And Madison said a very interesting thing. She was in the Encores production in New York City of Brigadoon. And she said the best thing was she had a small part. She was able to sit in the wings and watch Kelly O'Hara, who's an absolute master. And she said, I learned so much, and that was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, it's really quite fascinating. The kinds of things, the kinds of experiences that they bring to their work and how it enhances their work.
For tickets to the Mack Hayden production of Lerner and Lowe's musical Camelot, call 518-392-9292. And although we never got to hear their voices, our thanks go to Madison Stratton, Gabe Ballou, and James Rogers for visiting Theater Talk, and we really are sorry that you only heard our voices and not theirs.
But you can hear their voices, and most importantly, you can hear their voices, see them act and sing and dance and be absolutely wonderful in Camelot, along with a wonderful supporting cast. It's a rare pleasure, so be sure you go and see it. There are matinees. The performances are, I think, quite reasonable when you consider what you have to pay for musical performances in New York City. This is a great bargain besides being absolutely wonderful professional work. Get your tickets now.